Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it. For $4,000, she has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
Well, the truth of the matter is this. A lot of people have spent my adult life talking to me on the radio, TV, and Congress about freedom this and freedom that. And you have freedom, freedom, America's freedom. And when the S hit the fan, as they say, a lot of those people ran and hid under their bed and told everybody to shut up and go home, peasant. And people you don't expect step up and say, that's not right. It's not who we are. And so I am thrilled to welcome in Shelley Luther. Yes, that Shelley Luther, the now nationally famous Shelley Luther, the owner of that Dallas salon who opened back up in defiance of government orders. Shelley, what's it like being famous now?
It's pretty surreal, actually. I'm just trying to keep up.
I would imagine you've had plenty of fan mail, plenty of not so much fan mail. I certainly understand what that's like. Explain your thinking process and why you finally opened. Because, look, it's easy to sit and say, just defy the government. It's another thing entirely to actually do it, and it certainly cost you at the time. What was the thinking process? Why do it at all?
Several reasons. Obviously, we all shut down and we're willing to shut down to make sure to keep people safe, but they weren't opening us up. They kept pushing back the goalposts and weren't getting any government assistance. But the real trigger was when my hairstylist started coming to me saying they need to start working underground because they're not able to pay their mortgage or feed their families. And I said, you know what, we can't do that because that's not safe. We need to make sure if we're going to open and do this, we need to do it right in a very sanitized environment with CDC guidelines, social distancing, and all of those things. And it was actually more of a response of responsibility, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Now, what was – okay, so you open up, you're cutting hair. What is the first way the authorities got in contact with you and said stop? Did they make a phone call? Did a cop show up at your door? They send the SWAT team in? What was the first contact?
Honestly, we decided we were going to open. The decision was made April 18th, and we didn't open till the 24th. But starting April 18th, I started advertising that we were going to be open.
Okay.
One of the main reasons I didn't want to feel guilty about it. I didn't want to hide from it. And I wanted to show people that we thought it was right to open. And so we got contacted the day before we opened from the Texas, state licensing agency. and said, you better not open. Cops are going to show up. And I'm like, I'm going to open. I don't know what to tell you. So the cops did show up. The next day, they wrote us a citation. On that Friday, we opened.
How were, obviously, I don't want you to indict anybody or name names unless you feel the need to do so, but how were the cops when they showed up to write that citation? I understand they were told to do so. Were they enthusiastic about it? Did they give you that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hey, I'm sorry we have to do this kind of thing? How did they act?
It was very, very wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. I felt sorry for them because, obviously, they're trying to build rapport with the community these days, especially in Dallas. And they basically had their tail between their legs because it was just almost embarrassing for them. And I knew it wasn't coming from them. They were very respectful. And, of course, I responded with respect as well.
That's awesome. Now, how did it go from a citation to you ending up in jail?
Well, the same day the city ordinance came out, told me to shut down. I said no. And then a letter came from the Dallas County Commissioner, Judge Clay Jenkins, ordering me to shut down, a cease and desist letter, threatening a lawsuit and criminal charges. And I still did not shut down. And then a few days later, I received a temporary restraining order from the Judge Eric Moyer. And then the rest is history from there. Everybody's seen the video of how he sentenced me to 7 days in jail for going against his temporary restraining order, basically contempt of court.
Yeah, everybody has seen that. In fact, I played that on my TV show. That was legendary. Now, how exactly were you received in jail? This is a random assumption. I mean, for all I know, you're a career criminal, but I'm assuming you haven't spent much time in the clink?
I've never been to the pokey. Never. When I came in, there is a TV in there, like in a main rec area.
Oh, nice.
But none of the ladies, the other seven ladies that were in the same area as me, none of them had ever seen me before. I don't think they really watched the news. They kind of had like their, normal shows that they watched.
How was the food?
I did not eat the food.
Oh, Shelly, we need the details. Was it that bad or they didn't serve you any?
What came cooked looked really like it was unrecognizable. And then a lot of the times it was just like they slapped a couple pieces of white bread and gave you like a thing of cheese and some other meat that I wasn't sure what it was. Oof. So I just didn't eat. It was only 2 days. So, people fast longer than that. It wasn't that big a deal.
2 days. How many prison tattoos do you have now?
I have zero tattoos, but let me tell you, I'm thinking about getting one. If they don't open up Texas tattoos shops, I'm thinking of getting one in protest.
Yeah, those tattoo guys will do it, too. It's actually funny you brought that up. I interviewed that guy who opened up his tattoo shop in North Carolina the other day, and he was all about it, and he was saying the exact same thing. It's just not fair. It's not fair to my people. I'm behind on my mortgage. All right, where do you stand now? I understand you're doing stuff for other small businesses. Are you financially bankrupt? Did people help you out so much you're good to go? Are you open? Are you closed? Where are you?
Well, let's start with the salon is open and it will stay open. It never shut down the entire time that all of this was happening. Secondly, I'm sure a lot of people have heard, I had a GoFundMe that someone had set up for me, a guy that I'd never met before, but talked to before my court case. And I went into the court case with about $20,000 in there, which is crazy money to me. But when I got out of jail 2 days later, there was $500,000.
That's great. And I'm assuming you have that, right? This guy didn't turn out to be a scammer and he's in Ecuador or something with our money, right?
No. I have most of it. GoFundMe does it to where it kind of gives it to you in chunks, but I do have most of it. But yes, I set up a... I thought a lot about it when I was in jail, what I wanted to do, because I found out, like, not the day I was in jail, but the next day that it was at, like, $150,000. And the first thing I thought of is, like, man, how do I give back to these people? And so I started a charitable organization. It's called Courage to Stand at CourageToStand.com. And if we're ever able to receive any more donations, what we're going to do is stand up to the government and take our country back. And I'm going to do that one shop at a time. And as a matter of fact, my boyfriend and I, we're on our way to Michigan right now to help Mr. Carl Mankey and stand in Owosso against that tyrannic governor in Michigan.
Daggone, Chris, we got to get this lady running for office. You know they're going to get you running for office, right? And then there's going to be really, really a lot of benefit to having like a teardrop tattoo on your face.
Maybe I'll be the first one and be like, what? I have street cred, I'm allowed to.
Shelley Luther, go do your thing. Hey, go ahead and plug this charity again, please.
CourageToStand.com. Thank you so much. I really appreciate any support we can get. Let's get America open again and get people working.
You are very welcome. My hair is retreating because I'm married with kids, but next time I'm in Dallas, I'm coming to see you.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thanks so much.
Be good. That lady's dynamite, dude. That lady is dynamite. I will tell you, full disclosure, I generally don't like having people I've never talked to in my life on, especially people that don't do media, because you never know. I mean, we all know, we've all heard the bad interviews. You've heard them on my show, I'm sad to say. Now, granted, you never hear them twice. If somebody's bad, they don't get invited back. But you've heard the, That lady's awesome, dude. We need to get that lady running for office. We do. I mean, look, it's not ideal to have more women in office, but she sounded really good. Stop, Chris. We can make jokes on a Friday afternoon. Gosh. All right, I'll finish my gas mask story, and then I'm going to churn through these headlines really fast. Hang on.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.